Senior Russian military officials announced a daily ceasefire in Aleppo in a bid to allow humanitarian aid to enter into the north Syrian city.
To guarantee full security of humanitarian convoys entering into Aleppo, there will be humanitarian windows established from 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon local time starting from Thursday.
And Witskoy added that all military operations, including air and artillery attacks, will be halted during that period. Witskoy said that the Kremlin and Damascus are ready to help all interested organizations safely deliver humanitarian aid to residents in Aleppo. Meanwhile, UN Humanitarian Chief Stephen O'Brien has expressed readiness to consider Moscow's proposed ceasefire in Aleppo. O'Brien, however, said a 48-hour halt is required to meet the humanitarian needs in the city, which has been the scene of fierce battles between the Syrian army and militants in recent weeks. Now for more on the story, we're going to swing over to Ontario, where we're joined by Mr. Edward Corrigan, international human rights lawyer. Good to see you again, Mr. Corrigan. Now, Mr. Corrigan, we hear Western governments often criticize Russia's role in Syria when here's a country which has successfully hunted down terrorists, has brokered or attempted to broker ceasefires, and has made getting humanitarian aid to civilians one of its priorities. Please help shed some light on this.
Well, my perspective is that the Russians are, first of all, they're there legally at the invitation of the duly elected and constituted Syrian government headed by Bashar al-Assad. The Americans, the British, their other intervention is quite illegal, as is the intervention of the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the Qataris and the Turks and stuff. Turkey right now is really up in the air because of the attempted coup, which many people link to the CIA, and it's caused a big breakdown in the relationship between the United States and Turkey. And of course, Turkey now is cultivating ties and meeting with Vladimir Putin, etc. So there's that whole area is in a state of flux. But as for Aleppo itself, it is a humanitarian crisis. BBC reports there's 250,000 people or so that are entrapped in the siege area. The United Nations uses a much higher figure of 2 million. But I think Russia is doing several things. One is they are competing for the hearts and minds of both world opinion and people in Syria. So they are doing the right thing and allowing a three-hour window for bringing in, you know, food supplies and medicine, etc., into parts of the city that are not under control of the Syrian government. Roughly the city is half controlled by the Syrian government, and then half of it is controlled, the eastern half is under control of the Islamic rebels and groups, ISIS, al-Nusra Front, etc., which has just repackaged itself with a new name. However, so I think that's one part of it. Also, it's a genuine concern. I think the Russians have been much more constructive in their engagement. They're addressing, you know, terrorism. They're addressing the people trying to overthrow the government. The United States has been sending inconsistent signals. Sometimes they want to talk and cooperate with the Russians. Next time, you know, they're quietly supporting Turkey and shooting down a Russian plane that may have ventured in a couple seconds into Turkish territory, even though that's not clear. And there seems to have been some advanced premeditation on that particular attack itself. But there's a battle for the hearts and minds, for sure. And also, I think the Syrian government wants to show that they care about the people in Aleppo. The Russians want to send that same message to the world community. And it will undercut attempts by the United States and some other Western powers and Western media to demonize Russia, saying they're evil, they're not doing things, not being constructive. When in fact, I think if you look at the facts, the Russians are being much more constructive. They are attacking ISIS and the funding of it. When the United States seems to be quietly supporting ISIS, a large part of their political establishment still is committed to regime change in Syria, which of course is blatantly illegal. And also, quite frankly, I think crazy, because if you take out the Assad and the Baathists and the government supported by the majority of the people, you're going to create, you know, another failed state, and it's going to be a hotbed of Islamic terrorism and ISIS and other things, which is very, very destructive. And if that's the outcome that's going to come to this, then you have to really question the motivation of the Western powers, including the United States.
And I was going to ask. I'm glad you mentioned that, because, okay, we have less than a minute. If you could just really quickly tell me, why hasn't the United States been more willing, and their allies, let's just say the West, been more willing to entertain Russia's and Iran's approach to resolving this conflict in Syria, when it's been clearly proven that their allies in the region are openly supporting extremist terrorist groups, some very questionable characters on the ground there in Syria?
Well, I agree with that. And certainly Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey up until recently have all been supporting ISIS and other Islamic groups, even had troops on the ground there. And the West, I think, has been supporting ISIS and the Islamic groups because weapons don't get from Libya to Syria and in the hands of Islamic rebels without the assistance of at least the CIA and maybe other agencies of the United States government. Certainly the Pentagon has been supporting the Kurds. CIA has been supporting ISIS and other Islamic groups. And, you know, there's very mixed messages coming out. Some, I think the American public doesn't want to get involved with this into the Syrian civil war, for that matter, in Afghanistan, Iraq, elsewhere. But the government still is, and they are still using violence and war as a way of extending their policy to both destabilize the Middle East and also to control it. And of course, they're primarily interested in oil, but also make sure that the area is, you know, is in a state of collapse and creating failed states.
Thanks for your input, Mr. Corrigan. That was Mr. Edward Corrigan joining us out of Ontario. He's an international human rights lawyer.